I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to Creature Feature, production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host of Mini Parasites, Katie Golden. I studied psychology and evolutionary biology, and today on the show, beavers! That's it! That's what we're talking about. Just beavers. Straight up beavers. Whole time. 100% beavers. 100% of the time, 100% beavers. Beavers, part one, beavers. Part two, beavers. Part three, more beavers. It's all about beavers, our favorite architect of the world. We're going to discover that not only are they incredible animals, just how they are constructed, but how they construct the world around them and shape the ecology and the environment, and they have had a surprisingly large impact on human history. Discover this more as we answer the age-old question, will God get mad at you for eating beaver tails? Joining me today is writer for American Dad and co-host of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, Soren Bowie. Welcome!
Hello. Hello, Katie. Thank you for having me. The way that you were describing this episode, it made me feel like I was walking down the street in 1970s New York and just all these smut stores around me that are just like,
beavers!
Beavers, part one! Beavers! Beavers everywhere! Beavers all the time! That must have been what it was like.
24/7, all beavers, no questions asked. Well, I'm talking about beavers because you requested it. You asked for beavers.
Yeah, I did. I don't know when it happened, but at some point my eyes were open to the beaver and I was like, this is the most important species in North America.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about it. And I had no opportunity because no one wants to hear about beavers outside of like these very specific circumstances. So I jumped at the opportunity.
Yeah.
When you gave me an animal to choose.
Yes. This is the place for it. Beavers are surprisingly important. And I think that they are maybe like, I don't know if goofy would be the right word for it, but they're just very affable looking. They don't look like, you know, it's not like a jaguar or a lion where you're like, oh, yeah, that's a keystone species right there. But here they are sitting with their little paddle tails and buck teeth nibbling on some twigs. And you're like, oh, you're just a beaver. What's the big deal?
The way that they walk is very funny. They kind of lumber around and their tail's too heavy to even pick up. They got to drag it. Even when they swim, they're kind of silly looking because they only swim with their back legs.
Yeah.
They're real fun.
There's nothing elegant about a beaver.
They're kind of scary. Have you ever seen one in person?
No, I haven't.
I've seen one. I used to work on golf courses when I was younger, and golf courses are like, well, beavers are the bane of a golf course because they can flood areas of it. And also they build a lot of the golf courses in like these lowlands, these like the low flat areas at the beginning of bottom of like glacier ruins. But they are huge. Like they're much bigger than you expect. And they're terrifying looking because they're teeth are like this bright, bright orange.
Yep. Yeah. They are not the cartoon beaver with the chubby cheeks and the bright white teeth who look small and cuddly. They're huge, They are hefty and they have bright orange, sharp, chisel-like teeth, which are as terrifying as they sound, to be frank. Like, you were right to be afraid of the beavers. Don't let anyone shame you for being afraid of a beaver. There's been at least one fatality from a beaver. A beaver, I believe, bit a man so deep it severed his femoral artery and he died.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I thought you were going to tell me that a beaver laid some sort of Macaulay Culkin type trap had a tree fall.
Right. A sort of Rube Goldberg device of trees and twigs and a pine cone and then just like a big boulder. Yeah, no, he just bit him real good, and he died from being bit so bad. Yeah, I don't
remember Home Alone entirely, so to be fair, still could be. That could have happened. I don't remember.
I definitely don't mean to make light of anyone's death. Every death is a tragedy, but God, that must have been awkward.
What a way to go.
You know, it's like, it's not the most noble of deaths. Like I was talking about earlier, you get eaten by a jaguar or a lion and you're like, he was mauled to death by a lion. It's like, wow, okay, what a way to go out. Mauled to death by a beaver? But, you know, they are a keystone species. So maybe that's a consolation prize. Probably not. So beavers are giant rodents. They are the second largest rodent in the world, beat out only by the capybara. So, yeah, they are. Oh. Yeah, they're rodents. They kind of maybe trick you a little bit with the flat tail instead of the long fin tail, but they are absolutely rodents. And
that sounds so gross when you say it.
Rodents.
I don't. Yeah, I guess that's not my favorite aspect of the beaver, that they're part of that family. But, I mean, I'm willing to live with it.
But capybaras are rodents, and they're adorable and sweet.
I don't know. I kind of get creeped out by capybaras.
What is wrong with
they
you?
They look really strange to me. I do like that the other animals seem so disarmed by them, that you always see like a bunch of other animals around them, just like, yeah, I love this thing. It's a big stuffed animal. But I don't know. All of them look like they like a Civil War general to me. Like the way their hair hangs
very
over
serious.
Their mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Colonel, looks like I'm going to eat some alfalfa.
That's what they would say all the time. you weren't kidding. You're great at improv.
This watering hole is full of gators. Doesn't bother me none. So there are two species of living beavers, the North American beaver and the Eurasian beaver. The North American the North American beaver lives in North America. The Eurasian beaver lives in Eurasia. So the North American beaver is longer with a wider tail, and the Eurasian beaver has a thinner tail and a longer snout. I can't really tell them apart. So they all look like beavers.
I was pretty excited when I suggested this to think, I bet there's accounts from when they first came to the United States. And I was assuming at this point that because I live in the United States, there are no beavers anywhere else in the world. And I was like, I wonder what it was like for them to first encounter beavers. And so I was like, I'll look up Lewis and Clark and see like their accounting of it. And then I was like, oh, no, they all knew what beavers were. Yeah. Everybody knew what beavers were for centuries because they're everywhere.
But maybe something that you might like to hear is that certainly monks that would be scribes, they didn't know what beavers were, and their interpretation of the beavers were extremely funny.
Yes, I would like to hear
that. Yes, we will talk about that later in the show. But just a teaser, monks didn't know how to draw beavers. They gave it the good old college try, the good old monastery try, but no, didn't know what a beaver was, didn't really grasp sort of the critical aspects of the beaver and how you would represent what a beaver is. There are definitely accounts of people who didn't know what the beaver was and what to make of it.
Just some quick fun beaver facts. Beavers in the wild live to be about 12 years old, but they can live to be almost 20 in captivity. Most adult beavers weigh around 40 to 70 pounds. That's 17 to 32 kilograms. So they're big guys. You know, they're hefty. They can reach up to around 4 feet or 1.2 meters long. So yeah, it is correct to fear the beaver.
Big.
They're big.
They're really, and like their body is just like a big mound too.
Yeah.
So when you see them, obviously the tail gives them some extra length, and that's a little unnerving to see a big leathery thing dragging behind them. But like they're pretty tall. When they get old enough, like they're as tall as a moderately sized dog.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, old fat beavers, because they can keep just growing almost until they die. They can weigh up to 100 pounds or 45 kilograms.
Jesus.
So. Yeah, I'm just, I don't know why, but I just, because beavers actually form these like cohesive family units where they're monogamous. Yeah. And they will have like these, you know, sometimes live with their extended families. I'm just imagining this like old like beaver patriarch with like a stogie sitting on the front porch of the beaver lodge. Just this massive mound of beaver. Like, lift up Pap's tail. I left a log under there to chew on and I can't reach it.
That's a good little beaver. Thank you.
But speaking of large beavers, an extinct species of beaver was the giant beaver, which was a bear-sized beaver that lived in North America during the, oh boy, Pleistocene around 3 million years ago and went extinct around 12,000 years ago. So we definitely coincided with a giant bear-sized beaver, which, you know, it's fair to say you're maybe a little bit cautious around normal-sized beavers. Imagine a bear-sized beaver with the teeth and the tail and just the beaver energy, but sized up, you know, to bear.
I'm looking at the skeleton of it, and it's scary.
Yeah.
This is great. I want these now. This thing is... Oh, here's a woman posing next to a statue of one, so I can get some real context here. Their teeth are about this... Like, one of their teeth is about the size of her face.
Yeah. Yeah, have you ever seen like a beaver with just like a little twig that they sort of snap in half and easily chew through and get all the green, nice living tissue out of? Imagine that, but it's instead of a twig, it's you, a person.
Yeah, this thing could bite through my leg with one bite.
Easy, easy. It could like floss its teeth with your entire body. No problem. Weirdly enough, it turns out humans survived rather than the beaver. So when it was giant bear-sized beaver versus humans, we came out on top, which seems improbable, given that the bear-sized beavers were around 6 feet long or almost 2 meters and could weigh up to 280 pounds or 125 kilograms. So they're also semi-aquatic, just like their modern relatives. They could take a massive amount of oxygen and remain underwater for extended periods of time. So you could be an ancient human living in North America, just bathing in a river, and then just a massive bear beaver comes up out of the water and looks at you with its bright orange teeth and beady little rodent eyes.
Boy, I mean, given how family-oriented beavers are and how, like, they need that sense of affection.
Mm-hmm.
If you could steal one of those baby beavers,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee at some point, ancient man tried to domesticate and then ride one of them.
Tried to mount the beaver. Yeah. That probably happened.
I mean, surely they would. There's no other reason to domesticate it, I don't think, other than maybe you could try and
just
train it.
I am trying to think of like the riding the beaver, though. It's like, hi ho, beaver. And then it's just sort of waddles. You know.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how fast these are.
Not.
They probably can't cover much ground.
Not too fast. No. But, you know, you could like put your. That would be if you don't need to go too fast. You could ride the beaver and like set your kid up on its tail. Whole family just sitting on the tail. You're on the beaver.
Right.
you know.
It's about the experience. You don't get a beaver to go from A to B.
No.
I mean, you get a beaver because that's like your fun ride. That's right. The one you take out for like a real spin.
Right, exactly. And they don't have like the upkeep of like a giant sloth. So, you know, it's a good option for a small family, I think. Can I get you in one of these bad boys today, Soren?
You know what? I think I'm sold.
What do I have to do to get you onto one of these bad boys right now? So, its brain was smaller proportionally to its body compared to today's beavers, so it was a lot dumber. So maybe that's why it died out. Humans may have hunted it to extinction. I can't imagine like wanting to face a beaver in combat, but it's possible. There's not really evidence of that, but somehow they were there, big and beavery, and now they're gone. So who knows?
It's sad.
It is sad.
I bet the saber-toothed tigers got them.
But I don't think they could. Because, sure, saber-toothed tigers, they got the big teeth, but beavers, they got even bigger teeth. And just like...
They do.
Rattling their teeth together like sabers. That'd be fun to watch, though.
Fascinating thing. So we go to the La Brea Tar Pits is here in L.A., and I go there frequently with my child. And I learned a fascinating detail about saber-toothed tigers that is obviously tangential to this, but I think could help inform how the saber-toothed tiger might have killed the beaver, which was they didn't grab their prey around the neck because like woolly mammoths and stuff had so much fur and everything around their necks that they weren't choking out their, the same way like a tiger or a lion now would just like, the easiest way to kill something is just cut off its oxygen supply.
Yeah.
So like they just bite hard enough to do that. But the saber-toothed tiger couldn't do that because everything in the ice age was so furry.
Yeah.
And, like thick with fat. So they would just jump on its back, whatever it was, a ground sloth or whatever, and they would dig their teeth in as far as they could and then just follow the animal as it bled out miles and miles.
So it's like like a Capri Sun. You just punch a little hole in it and suck out the juices.
That's right. And you just wait. Just wait.
Well, maybe a saber-toothed tiger could just kind of do a Capri Sun on a giant beaver. I don't know. I wasn't there. Speaking of giant teeth, though, beavers have some of the most interesting, impressive teeth in the natural world. And I'm talking about present-day beavers. Beaver teeth constantly grow because they do indeed eat trees. This is one of those things that, like, as a kid, I was like, they eat trees. And then when I was, like, a young adult, I was like, there's no way beavers eat trees. That's got to be a myth. And then now it's like, yeah, they eat trees, you know? So like they do eat tree bark. They are herbivores. They eat a bunch of different types of plants, like aquatic plants, lily pads, cattails, rushes. They'll eat roots, leaves, ferns, human legs. They eat tree bark and cambium, which is a fleshy layer just under the bark. It's full of sugars. They use trees not just in their diet, but in their construction project, which we're going to talk a little more after the break that's coming up. But before we talk about that, the teeth that allows them to cut through all this wood, they are amazing. Their teeth are constantly growing because of all the heavy duty chewing they have to do. If their teeth didn't constantly grow, they'd wear their teeth down to useless nubs in like a month. I feel very connected to beavers because I actually clench and grind my teeth. It's like I have bruxism, so I'm just like constantly clenching. And every time I would go to the dentist, they're like, you're just going to have like nubs for teeth if we don't do something about this soon.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little jealous of all the, I think like rats are the same way where their teeth just keep growing.
Yeah.
And that sounds great. I mean, because I'm constantly having terrifying dreams about shattering my teeth or my teeth falling out.
It's a common one.
If there was
one,
just more and more tooth behind all of that, I'd feel so much better. Just the prospect of chipping a tooth now, it seems like.
Then you're screwed.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You won't survive. You can't eat anymore. Yeah, no, I mean, that it is a problem for a lot of animals. If there's a problem with your teeth as a carnivore or an herbivore, I mean, basically anything that needs to use their teeth to eat, which is most animals.
Yeah.
If your teeth go wrong, then you die because you don't have any method of eating. So with beavers, actually, if they are unable to wear their teeth down, they can also die. Because if their teeth are misaligned and they don't get that constant wear, their teeth still grow. And so what happens is their teeth just grow and grow and grow. And, you know, have you ever seen pictures of, like, gross, really long nails and how, like, when nails get long enough, they start to curl? It's the same thing that happens with their teeth. It just, they grow until they start to curl. And they can actually grow up from their mouth and curl around and, like, puncture their own skull, which is horrible.
Awesome.
And so I gave you a picture of it.
Okay, let's take a look. Oh, God. Oh, he's not long for this world. That will just go right into his brain, right?
It depends where it hits him in his skull, but probably, yeah. I mean, this one kind of looks like it's getting him in the eye a little bit, which is not great. It's also like once that's happened, it's not very easy to eat or probably think with tooth in your skull. So if tooth in the skull doesn't get him, probably the inability to eat well. So not a good thing. This happens to any beaver that has a condition known as malocclusion. So yeah, beaver retainers would potentially save beaver lives. But for a healthy beaver, their teeth will be worn down into a perfect tree-cutting chisel shape. Because, like you mentioned earlier, Soren, their teeth are bright orange, and that is because they are so rich in iron that they have this discoloration. So their enamel on the front of their tooth is packed with iron. And on the other side of the tooth, it's softer, just made of dentine. So as they chew, it causes uneven wearing because the front wears slower than the back, and that causes an angle to form. And then that way, their teeth are actually shaped like chisels, and that chisel shape is much better at getting into wood and cutting into it like an axe.
That's really cool. So they're just basically you're creating a sharp edge.
Yes.
Every single time. They self-sharpen.
They self-sharpen. They're constantly growing and self-sharpening. I wish I had kitchen knives, but it was just a beaver, I guess. That would be really good. Because then you wouldn't need to sharpen them. You just, wouldn't need to get a new beaver when it wears down. I guess you would need to get a new beaver, like, in 20 years when it dies. But, no, that'd be great. Could you imagine how fast a beaver could, like, julienne a carrot? Perfect.
Oh man. Oh, it'd be so quick.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's a documentary. I think it's on PBS. It's on nature, where that's the one that made me fall in love with beavers. And in it, they're talking about how, every single night, like a beaver can chop down tons of trees. And I thought it took a beaver a very, very long time to chop down a single tree. Like you think about the diameter of like a birch or something that's maybe a foot or 12 inches.
Yeah.
And it turns out that they could do that in like 4 hours.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Nothing to them.
Yeah. If it's a small enough tree, they can sometimes fell like a more slender tree in just like 50 minutes. It's crazy. Yeah. And they will, the fact that each individual beaver can bring down a tree so quickly means that they will have huge, huge impacts in their environment. You know, you imagine just one beaver being able to take out multiple trees in a day, and then you increase that number to millions of beavers. They have just a massive, massive impact on the local ecosystem in what I consider to be a positive way. Maybe golf courses don't consider it to be such a good thing. But yeah, we will talk about the way that beavers are one of the world's most impressive environmental engineers right after the break.
So excited. So excited.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues
pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we got a cat recently, a little kitten. Mm-hmm. And I, for the first time, put some... I haven't had a cat since I was a child, and I had to put flea stuff on the back of her neck.
Yeah, I know what that
it's
is.
It's like just these little drops. So I like push, as she's eating and very calm, I push the fur up, I squirt it on, and they're like, be careful not to get this in your cat's eyes. Dude, it's very bad if you get this in your cat's eyes. So I squirt it on there, and I'm like, good, done. And I pull my hands away, and she feels something wet on her neck. So she immediately shakes, and it goes right in my eye.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God. And so I like run to the sink, and I'm just splashing water in there, trying to get as much as I can in there. And then I read the instructions again. It was like, if you get this in your eyes, hold the eye open and wash it for 15 to 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, the eye's gone then. There's no way I could do this for 15 or 20 minutes. And it stung, and it didn't feel great the rest of the night. And then I went to sleep, and I woke up in the morning, and my eye was crusted shut.
Oh,
when I woke
no.
up, like to the point where I had to like pull sleep out of my eyelashes.
Oh, no.
And finally got it open, and it was fine again. But I was like, there was a perilous moment where I thought, that's it. That's it for my eye.
At least you don't have to worry about getting fleas in your eye, though.
That's a really nice silver lining. Yeah. Thank you, Katie. Yes.
So, Soren, you know how Elon Musk is always talking about how he's going to terraform this and he's going to terraform that, you know?
No, but that seems like something he would say.
Just like, we'll just terraform Mars. We're going to terraform, you know... I'm going to do some light terraforming over here. Screw Elon Musk. The real terraformers of the world are beavers. They have a complex social system and build structures that not only help them survive, but shape the world around them. So as we all know, I think I can comfortably say, as everyone knows, beavers build dams. It's kind of their defining characteristic. Other than the weird tails and the big teeth. And they also build lodges, which are where the beavers live. The beavers don't really live in the dams. The dams are just to make their area of the water more comfortable for them. So usually they will build in a freshwater area Rivers, streams, ponds, and lakes are all candidates for beaver construction projects. Beavers will create a wooden fortress right in the body of the water, and this fortress where they sleep and they, you know, raise their young and stay warm in the winter is called a lodge. So the dam is basically just, they don't like flowing water. One could say they hate flowing water. They hate the sound of it. The sound of it drives them to start building a dam. And the dam will slow the flow of water such that they have a nice, serene, bucolic pond for them to build their residence. We talked a lot about their incredible femoral artery chomping teeth, and they can use these to carefully cut trees at a 45-degree angle so that they will fall down efficiently and in a predictable fashion. And they use a bunch of rocks as the base of their dam, and then they use those rocks to weigh down the logs that they stack up, and they use muddy grass to patch up the holes. So some real complex construction going on. And while it doesn't completely stop the flow of water, it slows it down enough that building a lodge is possible. So beaver lodges are where they sleep, where they seek shelter. Some of them can be fancier as a beaver ages and gets more experience, like more construction experience. Their lodges and dam building will get better. And they might add in like a dining room, maybe a foyer, you know, maybe an alcove. So inside the lodge, there's a raised floor above water level, so they actually stay nice and dry, even though there's no entry point outside of the water. So under the lodge, you'll have usually a couple of entrances, if not more, but you have to dive under the water and swim up through a tunnel to get into the lodge. And inside, it's raised up, so they're dry, but nobody, like, unless you're aquatic and willing to swim under this construction, you cannot get inside the lodge. So that keeps them safe from most predators. And they also will create a raft, which is a huge underwater mound of edible sticks and logs. It goes so deep underwater, most herbivorous animals can't get to it. So during the winter, when a lot of animals are suffering from malnutrition or a lack of resources, beavers are all set up. They have this great food supply that they can just kind of quickly exit their little lodge, grab, go back in, warm up, have a little cute little beaver time where they snack on all the logs that they've stored up. And so the only exception is like a novice beaver may build a pretty pathetic lodge and dam on their first attempts. It's definitely a learning process. Usually young beavers will learn from the older generations, but it is sometimes a little bit pitiful. Like they'll put some sticks together and it immediately gets washed away, which...
Well, they don't have to, they don't always have to start from scratch. I mean, there are like, they'll find, there are a lot of like abandoned beaver lodges.
Yes.
That then a young beaver can come along and be like, oh, this looks like a nice fixer upper. And they can, and that's one of the reasons I like the beaver so much. Like, I think that home renovation and monogamy are cool. And that goes against the grain.
Nerd.
And I think that if we can start telling everybody, hey, listen, these are actually cool aspects. These are character traits that are really cool. Then maybe everyone would think a little bit more highly of the beaver.
Who are you? Tim Allen in the popular 90s sitcom Home Improvement?
Does that answer your question? I guess it's some of the abandoned ones that they've torn apart, the lodges. They found wood in there that's like 1,000 years
yeah.
old. Like that they just keep using these places because like I guess the beavers leave it when they run out of food in a particular area. But then the benefit of having this huge, these like deep canals dug everywhere and like these swampy areas is that as soon as a beaver leaves, that place just reflourishes with all kinds of plants and stuff. And the next beaver can set up shop and eat all over again.
You're absolutely right. In fact, communal beaver dams and constructions can last for many decades. In fact, in Canada's Wood Buffalo National Park, beavers have constructed a dam about a half mile long, so that's just about under a kilometer. And it's so large, it can be seen from space, which I just love that. We're like, oh, man, the Great Wall can be seen from space. Human constructions, and it's just like beavers are over here going like, hey, us too. Look at what we made. We made this out of wood. Check this out, humans. Forget about the beavers.
That's how they would sound.
Don't forget about us.
You tried to forget about the beavers again, didn't you? You tried to escape on your little spaceships. Not this time.
You're not helping me make the beaver cool, Katie.
In my this isn't a cool voice, Soren. I've been doing it all wrong. So, yeah, they have been working on this construction since the 1970s. So this giant dam in Wood Buffalo National Park, it is from the 1970s, if not older. And given that beavers only live an average of 12 years in the wild, this is the work of about four generations of beavers. So, yeah, just they are absolutely capable of these massive, massive construction projects. Sometimes it's multi-generational, probably passed on from one family to the younger generation. Not only can they make huge dams that will cause flooding and slow the movement of water, they can also create canals to other ponds, rivers, and bodies of water, like you mentioned earlier. And they do this mostly out of laziness because they don't, as much as we think it's cute to see them waddling on land, they don't like to do that. So they will build a canal from their pond to another body of water so they can easily just like zoom right to another source of food. Just like a beaver hyperloop, you know, suck on it, Elon. The beavers, I just love that beavers are such a bane to rich people. They're flooding their golf courses. They're ruining their Walmarts. They're a constant reminder.
The rich people's Walmarts.
Well, they own the Walmarts, right? We go to the Walmarts. Okay. They own the Walmarts.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I love that they humiliate Elon Musk because they've done everything Elon Musk says he's going to do but can't do.
What are they? So they're just not great walkers, right? Like they just don't walk well on land. So is it that they're underwater? They're just safer. Is that?
Yeah, they're faster. They're safer. It's easier. It takes less, you know, effort. So like to pull wood and vegetation from another place, pulling it on land is a lot harder.
God, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, it's way easier to carry a whole tree underwater than it is to try and drag it across the land.
Yeah, it's like a beaver interstate, or I guess like interpond, interpool.
Yeah.
Interpol.
Yeah.
So all these beaver constructions have a massive effect on the ecosystem, which makes them a keystone species, which means a species of animal that has a disproportionate effect on their ecosystem. So they are the biggest architects of the environment other than humans, which, you know, we have a disproportional effect on our environment. But unlike the beavers, we're not maybe taking into consideration biodiversity when we're doing it. Not that the beavers really like sat down and thought about it, like we're going to be environmentally friendly. Like we want to build a dam. And we want to build a big pile of sticks in the middle of the pond, but we're going to do it in a way that's, like, helpful. Oh, I do like that.
Yeah, it's almost not even fair. Like, we are basically this, not to get too philosophical about it, but we are basically this parasite that we treat the earth kind of like a host, where we just sort of, like, take.
Yeah.
And the beaver, like, the beaver is relentless. Like, it's just, it's cutting down trees all night. At face value, beaver doesn't sound great. It's damming up water so water can't get to certain areas. It's cutting down a bunch of trees at night. It sounds like, oh, yeah, okay, I can relate to that. That's what people do, too. But no, like, what they're actually doing is, with these dams, they're creating these floodplains, and they're creating these areas that now allow tons of other life to sustain. Like all these other species now are can come to this one area because now it's much more lush and green than it ordinarily would have been if just a straight channel river or stream was like flowing through it. And they're so good for the environment that they don't even eat any other animals either.
Right.
They're just sitting there eating their sticks and they're content. And in their big lodges in the middle of winter, they're like, oh, muskrats, would you like to come join us in our lodge? And the muskrats are like, yeah, don't mind if I do.
Yeah.
Oh, family of rats, would you like to live in here too? And like these other, they're just these, they build these boarding houses essentially for other animals. I'm just so mad. I'm so mad that they're.
Well, if it makes you feel any better. Bright. From the tree's perspective, the beaver is the world's greatest villain.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Beavers and lumberjacks.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. They create these huge wetlands single-handedly or like single-poddedly, single-taildedly, toothedly.
It's hard to decide what the most important
all terrible
part of the beaver is in that. In
yeah.
that job.
all terrible puns here, folks. But yeah, so they raise the water table. So that means that there's more access to fresh water above ground. In addition, their dams also filter out pollutants and help slow the loss of soil through erosion. And this can change the environment chemically, like raising the levels of nitrogen in the soil, which makes it more fertile and increases the biodiversity of plant life. So beavers move in, change up the water system, and suddenly you just have all these new species of plants that are able to live there because the soil is much more nutritious. There's more access to water above the ground, accessible to plants. And it's amazing. They just like make it verdant and full of plant life. This also increases the number of aquatic life in the area that thrives in the calmer waters that beavers construct. So things like snails and earthworms, dragonflies, frogs, even mussels. And then once you get all of these little critters into the pond, then that has a cascading effect of inviting bigger animals in. So it increases like fish populations like salmon and trout, lots of birds, especially aquatic birds who love to come in and feast upon this like little biosphere that these beavers have created. And it can even have like these really unexpected effects, like increasing bat populations because bats like to often feed around water, especially where you're going to have a lot of insect activity. And so you'll have this increase in bat populations. And it's just, it's like kind of a jump to get from like beaver cuts down tree, puts tree in water, and now you have more bats. So...
what's the problem? How is that hard to understand? The beavers make bats.
Beavers, yeah. I mean, like that's the thing, right? So like bats, like Batman is really cool, but really Beaverman would be able to defeat Batman, right?
I mean, by the laws of nature,
yeah.
Beaverman.
Yeah, I guess like Beaver probably I guess in this analogy, I guess you know, what's his name? I was gonna say Jeeves, but I know that's not right. Batman's butler. Alfred. Alfred, right? Yeah, Alfred. He would be Beaverman, right? Because Alfred is the one who fostered Batman.
Yes.
So
Batman, Bruce Wayne wouldn't be here without Alfred.
Without
yes,
Beaverman.
That's absolutely right.
AKA Alfred.
Yeah. Sorry, Beaverman.
Beaverman.
I can't believe I keep calling
him
Alfred.
Blowing his cover.
It would be really funny to have Batman like putting on his mascara and like putting on his coat and being like, I'm going to get in the car, and Alfred's like, aren't you forgetting something, Master Bruce? And he's just dressed as a beaver. He's like, I don't know. I think maybe not tonight.
Could you at least lose the teeth? No, Master Bruce, that is an integral part of my costume.
And Batman just doesn't want to go out with Beaverman. He takes him out a couple times just to be like, well, it's like doing a ride along with a cop. Like, he's going to take him out just to let him see the sights and let him feel like he's being part of it. But, like, really, Beaverman just kind of gets in the way a lot. I'm the terror who slaps in the night.
Do you have a warrant for this, Master Bruce? I told you not to use my name.
Master Bruce, Batman, Master Bruce, I am so sorry.
But yeah, Beaverman, much cooler than Batman. They have just an enormous impact on the ecosystem. Yeah, I mean, like anything that has an impact on the ecosystem, they can have a negative impact on some species. So animals that would prefer a fast-moving river to a pond, some migratory species of birds that want dense forests rather than wetlands, they'll have a negative impact on their populations, but in the balance, beavers increase biodiversity. So for every like species that is not pleased with what they've done with the place, there's like five others who are like, yeah, this is great. We love everything just being a big old swamp.
There's like, when they want to reintroduce wolves to an area in the United States, they're like, well, are there beavers there? Because like they need beavers there first before like wolves can even be reintroduced. It's like they're connected to every other species. And it's like a big game of six degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Where they all lead back to the beaver, but it just takes a little while to figure out how to get there.
How many degrees do you think Kevin Bacon is from a beaver?
I could figure it out.
Probably just one, right? It's just Bacon to beaver directly. There's no middleman.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
Beavers have a direct line to Kevin Bacon and vice versa.
They can get a hold of him right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
they've got...
Beavers like, do you like Kevin Bacon? Do you like him? I can get you right in with Kevin Bacon.
I could invite him over. He could be here by 2 o'clock. He loves swimming.
I'll just put some logs on the stove and he'll come right over. they are an amazing example of how it is definitely possible to drastically alter the environment without causing a total collapse of the ecosystem, which is something beavers have done. But humans, we're not
there yet.
A few light issues with our, like punching a hole in the ozone, and beavers are like, oh, well, you don't want to do that, actually.
Well, you don't know that beaver. Maybe some more species will really like this. No, that's not.
I'm pretty sure. No. Have you thought about maybe just putting some sticks in the water? That's pretty nice.
We tried it. It was boring, beaver.
Well, when we get back right after the break, we're going to talk more about the relationship between beavers and people. And stay tuned until the end of the episode, because we will be revealing the answer to last week's mystery animal sound contest and giving you a whole new mystery sound to ponder over.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beavers, beavers, and some people. Yeah, so beavers have had a very complex relationship with humans going back to ancient times. We have often used beavers towards our own twisted ends or thought of them as pests due to the flooding that they can cause, which I think is sad. I like beavers.
Well, yeah. We hunted them almost to extinction.
Yeah.
I think that's sad.
I know. It is sad, right? It's pretty sad. If you have listened to some of the older episodes of this show, or if you've listened to Alex Schmidt's great podcast, Secretly Incredibly Fascinating, the episode on vanilla, which I'm biased towards because I was actually the guest on that one because he knew how much I wanted to talk about beaver butts, you may know that beaver anal glands secrete a musk that can be used as artificial vanilla flavoring. Yum, yum, yum.
Give me some of that.
Yeah.
But
just imagining a farmer waking up in the morning, you know, the sun's rising. He goes out to the barn. It's filled with beavers. He gets out a little tiny pail. It's like, all right, chompers, it's your turn.
Just expressing those glands.
Yeah. All right, let me just get right in here, chompers. I know.
And they make such fun little noises, too. Beavers do kind of like a...
Yeah. In medieval times, people mistook the beaver's anal glands for their testicles. And because in medieval times, actually, people did want to use that anal secretion called castoreum for a variety of things. Perfumes, vanilla flavoring, probably an aphrodisiac. I actually don't know that. It's just most animal parts, most like weird animal parts where we're like, let's eat this. It's usually something like, oh yeah, this will set the move. Some beaver anal gland juice.
Is that what castor oil is then?
No. Castor oil is from castor seed, I believe, whereas castoreum is the beaver butt juice. So, but yeah, in medieval times, they thought castoreum came from beaver testicles. And so there was a myth about beavers chewing off their own testicles so they wouldn't be hunted. And gosh, medieval monks sure tried hard to draw this happening. They really did try.
One guy said it, and they're like, good enough for us. Put it in the books.
Yeah.
I'll draw it.
Yeah. I mean, so I shared this with you, Soren. Of course, it'll be in the show notes, but it is a picture of a hunter on a horse, you know, majestic, beautiful stallion, and then a beaver. It looks,
I don't know,
kind of like a dog.
Yeah.
And it is chewing its own testicles off. That's the important part. Its tail isn't quite what one would consider a beaver tail to be.
No, it has these kind of long, elegant back legs.
Yeah.
And it's got some kind of like sharp ears. Then like a little kind of like a whiff of a tail.
Yeah. I guess they're trying to show that it's flat. It's not. There's not a lot of beaver connection I'm seeing to this. And this is a theme. If you just Google like medieval beaver drawing, not many people pass the test of, is this a beaver?
To the credit of the monks, I don't think they understand genitals generally, because there's something strange going on with the horse as well. And not that I'm like, that's the first thing I'm looking at when I look at any picture.
It kind of sounds like it, but, go on.
The horse's genitals in this picture are also very confusing. There's a lot of like curls.
It's a little bit of a sort of looks more like a note signature or something on a piece of music.
Yes,
not
it
really
does.
A, you know, And not, I'm not, get, you know, not to say like I would have preferred them to have lovingly crafted a very realistic horse apparatus, but you know, yeah. And they do have an interesting idea for, because like the beaver is chewing off its own testicles, but the position of it is like not quite physically speaking sense making.
The testicles don't look quite, quite, they look more like labia major.
Yeah. It actually, you know what? If you didn't know they were testicles, it kind of looks like an attempt to draw the big beaver teeth.
Yeah. Oh, that's the most beaver aspect. You're absolutely right. That's the most beaver aspect of this entire picture.
Right. But those are, in fact, actually testicles. Maybe that's why. Maybe they thought their teeth were testicles. Man, medieval guys must have been really sick with something. To like, it's like, yeah, that's what they're looking down. Yeah, that's what a normal testicle looks like.
That's what how they became monks. They realized early on, this can't be right.
This can't be right. I'm just gonna go to a monastery. I don't think this is right.
I'm not gonna put any more thought into it. This is just can't be it.
Yeah. Well, in fact, you know, the not only do beavers not chew off their own testicles, testicles have nothing to do with castoreum. It is just the anal glands, the musk that they use for territorial marking. Nevertheless, people throughout history have tried castoreum for a number of uses for the treatment of ailments such as vertigo, flatulence, epilepsy, sciatica, hiccups, and toothaches. None of these, I believe, have ever been, like, backed up by any data that it works. It was also thought to be useful to treat toxic womb syndrome, and hysteria in women, which were very, very real diseases and not things doctors just made up to explain when, like, your wife didn't want to cook dinner for you every night. Yeah. I love all the weird names we gave to, like, women just generally not being super happy with, like, you know.
Just women's style, like, yeah, get the general displeasure of the system that was built for to put them in a cage like their whole lives.
So I'm saying, oh, I do think I might like the right to vote. Sounds like you've got a case of womb with legs. A case of the flying womb. Yeah, because wandering womb syndrome was another one, which I guess they thought the womb went somewhere where it's not supposed to. But yeah, so apparently beaver anal glands, good for the disease that women would get when they were less than happy with medieval life. So probably the beaver butt juice doesn't help with most of these ailments, but it does have a chemical composition that includes salicylic acid, which is from their tree bark heavy diet, which does make it somewhat chemically similar to aspirin. So maybe there were some legit uses for it. But disclaimer, like, I wouldn't go around huffing beaver butt instead of just going to the pharmacy and getting an aspirin. Although the way things are going now, I just feel like that's going to be the next thing, right? It's like first horse butt medicine, now beaver butt medicine for, like, you know,
yeah,
for just anything, any weird thing we can try to put in our bodies, as long as it doesn't come in, like, you know, a pharmaceutical bottle.
Yeah, as long as the Western medicine didn't create it. I think that this is good thing to, like, put away in your brain if you're ever in a hatchet situation.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
So you're out there in the wild and you got a headache. Find a beaver. Give it a shot. When you survive the ordeal, come back and tell us.
If a beaver chews off your legs and it really hurts, grab that beaver and rub its butt against your face. You know, it's only fair. Beaver causes the problem.
Those glands.
Yeah, just like, look, you took my legs. Now I'm taking your butt glands. This is just kind of a fun little thing. In medieval Europe, beavers were not even really considered mammals, given their aquatic nature. So their leathery, scaly, fish-like tails were not considered to be red meat. They thought this is probably more like fish. So the Catholic Church allowed people to eat beaver tails during Lent.
What a weird detail that they allowed to stay through history.
Someone thought to write that down at some point.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we can eat beaver tails, though, so that's pretty cool. I just love that the Catholic Church, just like all these parishioners going like, well, what about beaver tails? What do you mean, what about beaver tails? Well, they're not really red meat, right? They're kind of fish. Yeah, I guess so. You can eat beaver tails.
Yeah. What about the fish part of the beaver? Yeah, the fish part of the beaver is fine. Eat that.
What about its head? No, no, just the tail.
No, that's the mammal part.
What about its balls? Yes. Okay, you can do that.
Obviously, it's balls.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sick of answering these questions.
So, beavers were a major force in the history of North America, both before and after European colonization. Obviously, aside from the fact that they created these verdant oases of biodiversity that was very good for humans to be able to go and fish and live off the land, beaver meat was very popular among many American Indian tribes and nations due to the fact that they remain well fed even in winter. So, they have that larder of logs under the water that they have access throughout the winter. So they stay nice and fatty, whereas other animals might struggle more during the winter. So for a hungry human, finding a beaver, a nice plump beaver during the winter would be a real, real windfall. Now, after European colonization, the fur trade was a major driver of colonization and expansion. In fact, it was so profitable and so popular that it was the cause of the Beaver Wars, also known as the French and Iroquois Wars, from around 1600 to 1700. If you're wondering, like, well, why were beaver pelts so popular? Were people just going around with, like, furry hats all the time? You could do a lot of modifications to beaver pelts. So they would actually make top hats out of beaver pelts by removing the guard hairs. So it didn't look like a fluffy beaver coat. They would, you know, remove all the guard hairs. And so you'd have this like tough, but very shiny like material that they could make a fancy top hat. And so that's totally worth nearly driving a species to extinction and taking over the land of people who already lived here. To get your shiny hats. Kind of what it boiled down to.
The beaver pelt was, there are a bunch of different hats. You could make like, remember like Napoleon's type of hat? Like
yeah.
That kind of hat, like they structurally held up very well. Like they'd stick up off the top of the head very well. And it just kind of like this nice felty material. And hats were, I guess, really important.
Yeah, it was like, we went to war for hats. It's weird. Yeah. We like, you know, maybe this is oversimplifying it, but we drove the Native American people from their homes partially because it's like, we can make a lot of money out of hats. It's yeah.
Yeah. When I did look up Lewis and Clark, I was amazed to see how much they'd written about the beaver. And it turned out that like Jefferson, there's just tons of it. First of all, they did eat it a lot. It was like their favorite thing to eat along the way. And then they also they talk about it a lot because I guess Jefferson was really interested in the fur trade. And like that was part of the reason that he sent them out there to do this huge exploration, not only to see how far the rivers go and to see how much land they had amassed. But they were like, no, we need to set up our own fur trade. And so we need to find out how many beaver we have out there.
this is like one of the things that is frustrating to me about how like American history is taught in schools, because like I think now it's not being whitewashed as much. But it's like, you know, when I was a kid, it was like, yeah, we needed to find a place to escape religious persecution. And then so that's why we have America now. And then as you learn more about it, it's like we really wanted to kill a bunch of beavers and turn them into hats. And yeah,
it's so
we
sadder.
so we drove them nearly to extinction, like did a genocide just so we could have our cool hats.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. They're like, what? We want to kill all these beavers, but there's all these people in the way.
We'll
just move them or kill them, I guess.
Yeah. It's a, cool history. Love it. Really, really fun than when you're in elementary school and you're like, all right, now you're the pilgrims.
Right. Yeah, fun.
Now fun. Yeah. So, yeah. Due to the fur trade, beavers faced near extinction. In the 1800s, beavers were nearing extinction in North America and in Europe. The Eurasian beaver population at one point dwindled to only about 1,000 individuals. So we were very close to losing the best animal in the world. And I'm not even being sarcastic. Like, without beavers, there would be a lot less biodiversity, a lot of ecosystems collapsing. So after the fur trade became less popular in the 1900s, beaver populations recovered. So now there are over 1 million beavers in Europe. So they didn't recover completely, but they did improve greatly. And in North America, there are over 15 million beavers. So that is quite an impressive recovery. Ecologists know the importance of beavers as architects of biodiverse, fertile areas. In Acadia National Park in the U.S., in Maine, the reintroduction of beavers to the area doubled the amount of wetlands in only 50 years. So they're just incredible. Like, when we talk about, like, oh, we want to terraform Mars, like, okay, put a bunch of beavers on Mars then. It always rubs me the wrong way when it's like, yeah, we got to go colonize Mars. It's like, could we just, like, focus on one planet at a time, you know?
Let's fix this one. I'm amazed at the also areas where they have a lot of drought. Like, a way that you fix that is you just send beavers there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, they can fix it. Then they solve the problem of drought, which is crazy because, you know, you're not getting any more rainfall or anything. But because they dig such deep canals and when they raise the water table, that also helps
the water cycle,
evaporation. Yeah. Yeah, so, like, the water sticks around a lot more, and it's, I just love them. I love them, Katie.
I do, too. Beavers are, they're pretty cool. I feel like we talk a lot about, like, oh, we could bring back the mammoth, or, like, maybe more reasonably, like, we could bring back the passenger pigeon, which is not as crazy an idea, but it's like, maybe we should just slow down and just start putting beavers in more places, you know, like, just like calm down a little bit, start putting beavers, like, before, you know, we go to the mammoth or the passenger pigeon. Because one of the problems with de-extinction is that we got rid of the ecosystem that originally supported passenger pigeons,
right,
let alone a mammoth. Like, we do not have the same territory for mammoths to be able to thrive. I don't know if you've seen North America recently, but it's not exactly a mammoth haven. So, like, we always like these, like, cool ideas, and then if you're like, could we just put more beavers everywhere, you're like, oh, boo, nerd, you know. But no, seriously, we should be putting beavers everywhere.
We are sort of.
Yeah.
They're doing some of that, which is great.
Yeah. Just the humble beaver. It's like, you know, Canada doesn't seem as dorky now, does it? With all their beaver emblems.
They really do. Yeah, their embracing of weird animals like the loon and the beaver is really inspiring to me.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're willing to look past the silliness of the animal and be like, look, this animal's important.
Yeah.
Can we all just be adults about this?
Yeah, I wish, you know, because, like, in the U.S., we're like, oh, bald eagle, that's so metal. And it's like, yeah, no, I mean, bald eagles are really cool. I love bald eagles. But, yeah, probably we should have gone with a beaver, honestly.
are you planning to talk about the, like, areas that are now flooding and everything because of beavers, like, residential areas that are flooding?
No, talk about it.
Because of beavers? Oh, so this is very exciting, is that beavers are...
You're excited for people being flooded by beavers.
Yeah, well, because, you know, when we hunted the beaver to almost death, that all of a sudden there were all these new, like, the places where beavers live the most, if you can picture it like a glacial region where a glacier went through an area, there's mountains on both sides, and then there's a huge, like, horseshoe valley in the bottom of it, and that's, like, where beavers thrived. And when we killed off all the beavers, that just became grasslands, like, dried out grasslands. And everyone was like, oh, this is the perfect place to build a city. This is the perfect place to build a town. And that's where, like, golf courses go. That's where ranches go because there's so much fertile. And it's all fertile because
the beavers
made it fertile.
Right. Yeah.
And so then when beavers are reintroduced or beaver numbers start coming back, they're building dams in anywhere that they hear water.
Yeah.
And so when they're doing that, all those areas are flooding again. And everyone's like, what the f***? The beavers flooding on my
Take it back, Beavers.
And the Beavers will do it in a night, too. Like, people will go out there. They'll, like, culverts are a big problem underneath roads where Beavers hear the water in a culvert. They dam up the culvert, and it just floods the road.
Oh, this is
and so,
so
the next day, so people good. Will come and, like, remove all the dam. And overnight, the Beavers will just build it again because they're such hard workers.
Yeah, I love this. I mean, like, I feel a little sympathy for just, like, regular people living there. But on the other hand, this is rad. It's the radical change that, like, we need in politics. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of arguments of, like, oh, how do you actually protest capitalism? I think just being a Beaver. You know,
there's a guy in Ontario. I think he's on Ontario. He's this French Canadian guy who his job was basically like, you got to get the Beavers out of this one particular town or this area. And like, he was him hunting and killing Beavers for a while and trapping them. But he was trapping other things because it's really hard to trap a Beaver. You end up catching like different herons and things like that. And he was getting really depressed by it. And then he was like, there's got to be a way to work with the Beaver. And he figured out that if he. Any area that was like a potentially could become this wetland area and it would end up flooding houses and things, he would put in the starts of what could be a great Beaver dam, but with pipes at the bottom of it. So that, and then he would put noise, he'd put it if anywhere that he wanted the beaver to build a dam. He just put a CD player there. Yes. That was playing the sound of water.
Yeah,
running.
Because they're actually triggered by the sound of flowing water to start construction of the dam. And then they're triggered by the sound of leaks. So like if the dam is leaking, they'll go in and locate where the sound is coming from. And it's like, I hear the sound. I need to pack more sticks where the sound is.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of living in a house with like a leaky faucet where you're just like, I can't stand it. I won't live here.
God, that'd be so useful, having a Beaver in the house and just like a leaky faucet and you wake up and there's just a bunch of sticks in there.
But by putting the pipes at the bottom of it, what he can do then is that once they build the dam in that area, if the water table ever gets too high, he just basically opens up the bottom of one of these pipes and like lets out a bunch of the water and they can close it right back up again.
That's perfect.
And living harmoniously
sell,
with
he,
the
like,
Beaver.
Bottle and sell that nice, good Beaver water. Beaver purified water. Just the tiniest bit of Beaver piss.
Yeah, just the littlest bit.
Just a little chef's kiss of Beaver piss. Yeah.
But I love that he's like figured out how to work with them.
No,
because it's possible.
We have to. We gotta learn to live with the Beaver. That's like, it's so important to recognize the importance of Beavers because, you know, we talk about like, oh, it increases biodiversity and this is good for the environment. I think sometimes people get this perception that we're not really part of the environment, so we don't have to, you know, it's like, oh, it's nice in theory to care about it, but, you know, we're not, you know, when we're talking about biodiversity, that doesn't really impact humans. But it does, though. It kind of, we're kind of, you know, we're in it. We're in the environment.
Now that it has actual, like, monetary consequences, people are like, oh, maybe Beavers aren't so bad. But
yeah.
That there are, like, these ranches where there are droughts, and then they're looking for anywhere to put their cattle that actually has water. And so, like, they'll find other ranches where they know that Beavers have like a presence there. And they're like, okay, can we send our cows to your ranch for a while to go graze and eat and everything? Because they're like, they're saving these ranches. They're by creating water tables that are a little bit higher and fighting against drought.
It is kind of sad though, that it comes down to like, we have all these droughts and like the sky is orange and we're like, maybe we made a mistake trying to kill off the Beavers.
I'm not trying to turn the Beavers into hats.
Yikes.
It was fun. I'll admit that.
The
it
hats
was fun
were so
making
shiny,
beavers into
though.
Hats.
They were so shiny. Well, before we go, I do need to reveal the mystery animal sound from last week. So every week for this new season, I've been playing a little game with you, the listener, and you, the guest, where I play an animal sound and you've got to guess who's talking. And if you answer correctly and you write to me at creaturefeaturepod@gmail.com, creaturefeaturepod on Instagram, or creaturefeetpod, that's F-E-A-T, not F-E-E-T. That is something very different. on Twitter, I will read aloud the names of the first three people to guess the sound correctly. So as of recording this podcast, actually, nobody has guessed the right answer to last week's mystery animal sound, which is a first. Everyone's been pretty good at guessing things, so I raised the difficulty level a little bit and maybe raised it a little too high because this is a tricky one. I will, just before releasing this, I'll keep checking. So if somebody guesses it right, I will insert it here.
Hello, it's Katie. I'm speaking through a robot since I had to add this in last minute. Beep, beep, boop, boop. Nobody guessed the right animal, but good hustle, everyone. Beep, beep, death to humans. Just kidding.
So just to remind you and for you to listen to, Soren, here is the sound from last week. And the hint was you do not want to get in a knife fight with this guy. All right. So that was the sound. Soren, do you have any guesses?
Yes, it's the frog that can send its own bones through its skin.
That is so interesting because I had Ben Bolin on last week and he guessed the same thing. And gosh darn it, but you're both wrong.
Wow. It sounds like megafauna. It sounds like something big.
Maybe it is something big. But you want to hear what the answer is, Soren? Or you got any more guesses?
Yeah.
All right.
No, I want to know.
The answer is cassowary. So,
oh, I should have known that. Oh, God, I'm an idiot. I love the cassowary. Yeah. I will go to the zoo just to see the cassowary because they're so pissed off all the time.
They're
really
such
fun to
watch. Angry, angry animals. So cassowaries are large, flightless, blue-faced, ornery birds with a 5-inch long dagger-like toe claw they can use to stab you. They grow up to 6 feet tall, which is about 1.8 meters, and they weigh up to 130 pounds, which is about 58 kilograms. You do not want to get into a fight with a cassowary. They are big, living dinosaurs. They will destroy you easily.
They're the closest thing we have to a velociraptor in the modern world. And they have this prehistoric plate on the top of their head.
Yes.
It's so confusing and weird.
It's called a cask, yes.
And they are... on like testicles hanging from their neck, which is also very strange.
Yeah.
Like these wattles, whatever those are. And they are super territorial. So like they're ready to kill anything.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
People get killed by these things in New Guinea all the time because if you water into a cassowary's territory, they'll just come and eviscerate you with their toe.
Yeah. 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 They live in New Guinea. They also, of course, live in Australia. Australia's always got to have a little taste of some of the most dangerous animals. And they produce the lowest frequency bird call in the world. In fact, sometimes their rumbling territorial call is so low, it's beyond the range of human hearing. Sometimes it's one of those things where like young, like kids can hear it, but adults can't because as we get older, our hearing gets worse and worse. So like sometimes like a young person will be able to hear the sound better than an older person. But yeah, so, you know, it is a part of the reason that they can produce this very loud and low frequency is that prehistoric thingy on their head that you described. It's called a cask. It is a hard, keratinous, fin-like protrusion on the top of their heads that is hollow with some sort of fibrous tissue on the inside that helps amplify these terrifying calls. It is definitely one of those things. I mean, birds technically are dinosaurs. We don't really think of them as dinosaurs. But when you think about like a T-Rex or a Velociraptor and you hear a cassowary, you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, that's a dinosaur. Yep. Okay.
The relationship is much, much clearer.
You think about like, well, would it really be too scary to live in dinosaur times? And you come face to face with a cassowary and it's like, yeah. No, it'd be bad. It'd suck pretty hard.
Yeah. I would encourage anyone that knows that they have a zoo nearby with a cassowary at it is to go see that zoo and that cassowary because they look like they want to murder everybody there. They're never, at any point, are they like, that's fine. I'm just in this. Like all the other animals come to some sort of resignment where they just sort of sit there and they accept that they're in this cage. Not the cassowary. The cassowary will pace and look at you like it wants to kill you.
Because it
and
does.
Heaven forbid. Yeah, heaven forbid you have other animals that like are wild at, or the yeah wild at the zoo. Like sometimes squirrels or peacocks get in these individual cages. You will be in luck because the cassowary will chase that and try and kill it. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's they are, I think, the most murderous animal in terms of, I don't even know if they have the highest kill rate. I don't think so. That's probably like the small black-footed cat or something. But they certainly have the intent, I think. The most bloodlust of any animal I get, just radiating off of a cassowary.
So cool. I've changed my mind. No longer the beaver fan. I want a cassowary.
Between getting shivved by a cassowary foot and getting my femoral artery severed by a beaver tooth, I don't know. I don't know what would be worse.
Toss up.
But, so we have another mystery sound for you guys to try to guess for next week. Here is a hint for this one. They may sound like a ringwraith, but these passionate fellows have something other than Frodo on the mind. All right, so that's nice. That's cozy.
Beautiful
sound. A relaxing nature sound. I love to relax with some nature sounds, like right before going to bed. And just. So, Soren, you got any guesses for who's talking?
Yeah, I got a guess.
I'll bleep you out if you get it right, so don't hold back.
It's a zebra. It might be a wildebeest, but I think it's a zebra.
It is not a zebra. I guess I probably shouldn't have said that, but I guess that's another hint. It's not a zebra. So there you go. But very good guess. And of course, I will reveal the answer to the Guess Who's Talking contest next Wednesday on the new episode of Creature Feature. Soren, thank you so much for joining me today to talk all about beavers. I feel like we could talk for hours about beavers.
Oh, there's just so much to say.
There's so much to say about the noble beaver. But so where can people find you to give you all their beaver takes?
You can find me. First of all, you can listen to my podcast with Daniel O'Brien. We talk about animals very rarely. So if you're having an animal overdose, you can come and visit.
Sounds dumb and boring.
You can visit Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. And you can also find me on Twitter at Soren_LTD.
If you want to send in your guesses, like I said earlier, you can write in at creaturefeaturepod at gmail.com, creaturefeaturepod on Instagram, creaturefeatpod on Twitter. That's F-E-A-T, not F-E-E-T. That's something very different. And if you are enjoying the show and you want to leave a rating or review, I do so appreciate it. I read all the reviews and they warm my heart. Thank you so much for listening. And thanks to the Space Cossacks for their super awesome song, Exolumina. Creature Feature is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts like the one you just heard, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or hey, guess what? Wherever you listen to your favorite shows, I don't judge. It could be anywhere. That's not my place to tell you where to listen to your podcast. See you next Wednesday.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia.
and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.